outrageous and shocking. That's how the Ulster Unionists have described news that the Health Minister did not spend an extra £40 million given to tackle waiting lists. Michelle O'Neill says around half the money was used on waiting lists. The rest was used elsewhere in the health service. Now the DUP have come out batting for their government partners. The DUP have come out defending Sinn Féin's Health Minister. They've accused the Ulster Unionist Party of serious inaccuracies on hospital waiting lists, and they say these inaccuracies are irresponsible and at worst scaremongering. The Ulster Unionist MLA Roy Beggs is with us this morning. The DUP's Paula Bradley, we're waiting to appear. She'll be on in a moment or two. Roy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, set this out for us, as you see it.
Well, we all know that there has been huge stress on our health services over the last number of years. Certainly, I was on the health committee for a number of years, and you've heard a sort of a mantra of, oh, they just need to reorganise and things will be better. They can manage within their budget. Now, what has become clearer and clearer, as well as receiving large amounts of additional money in your monitoring, they weren't even able to manage that properly. They came out and they said that £47 million is going to go towards reducing waiting lists, and they promised this would be 10 to 15,000 procedures to bring about an urgency that the public was demanding. But we now find that was not even delivered, because things were so dire at that time that they diverted it to pay for GP out-of-hours services. I mean, why was GPRs out-of-hours services not already built into the budget? Surely anybody who was planning their financial budget for the year would know that that's an essential. It's something that's not really going to change an awful lot. You know you're going to need GPs to be available out-of-hours. And they had to divert money to what many would have seen to have been as essentials. I remember as well one particular year, there was £155 million passed to the health service in 3-year monitoring. And at that time, the DUP had been ridiculing Michael McGimsey when he advised that the budget was insufficient. So what we've been doing is piecemeal management, spin doctoring, and again, I think there's more spin doctoring going on here by saying, oh, the waiting list isn't really as bad as what they're saying. People in the streets know how long they have to wait. Yesterday in the Assembly, I was highlighting the fact that there were 1,620 people in the Northern Health Trust alone who've waited more than a year for their procedure. Clearly, things are dire.
Actually, the question that you asked, Roy, was the following. Does the member accept that with 392,000 people on waiting lists, 1 in 5 people in Northern Ireland, there are risks involved? Now, of those 392,000 people, you're double counting, aren't you?
Stephen,
it's not 392,000 people, is it?
We are utilising the information that is public available. If the minister would publish exactly how many individuals are involved, we would be able to say exactly how many there
right,
were.
So it's not
this
300.
Is the best information that is available.
Well, hold on a second.
Hold on a second, Roy.
You have said that there are 392,000 people on waiting lists.
That's what it appears to me, yeah.
That's not true, is it?
The main thing to remember here is the number has doubled over the last couple of years.
No, the main thing to remember is that when an MLA says something, can we trust it? You have said 392,000 people are on waiting lists. It's not true, Mr. Beggs, is it?
I have no way of counting who is on 2 waiting lists.
So why did you say it?
It's the best information that I have.
So why did you say it in your question?
Because it's the best information that I have.
Do you admit now it's not true?
I don't know.
So why did you say it?
I said it because I'm aware that the numbers on those waiting lists has doubled and has got considerably worse over this last number of years. And I also know that there are many people in my constituency who are waiting far too long for their procedures. They ultimately have to go to their GPs numerous occasions. They are turning up at accident and emergency, causing additional pressures there. We are not managing our health service. We're not planning our budgets. and we're not doing it all in a transparent manner. The whole system needs reformed, and so far the Sinn Féin DUP executive has refused it. One of the things that's really annoyed me has been a separate issue.
Well, hold on, we'll get on that in a second, and I'm very happy to talk about this with loads of time. But I'm looking at an Ulster Unionist Party statement from yesterday. The Ulster Unionist Party have said, figures are symptomatic of the wider unprecedented crisis engulfing the Northern Ireland Health Service, with 392,000 people now on waiting lists. It's not true, is it?
Stephen, what other information is available to MLAs or the public? There is no other measure that we can use.
But you've just said a moment ago, hold on a moment. No, you've just said a moment ago that you don't know if it's true or not. Why is it on an official Ulster Unionist Party press release if you don't know?
Stephen, Nigel Edwards, the chief executive of the Nuffield Trust, has said, heads would roll in England if hospital waiting list figures were in the same scale as those in Northern Ireland.
How many people, Mr. Beggs, are on the waiting list in Northern Ireland?
When we add up the waiting lists that are available to us, there is 392,000. There is no other way in which we can identify individuals who may be on two different waiting lists. It is the best publicly information that is available.
But you forgot to say that to the public, didn't you?
Used for a number of years.
So in other words,
to get an assessment of how many people have been waiting on waiting
lists. So in other words, what this 392,000 figure actually represents would be including a situation where you have some people that are on a waiting list for to see a surgeon, and they're on another waiting list to possibly get another appointment associated with that surgery, and they might be on a third waiting list to see another different specialist in the health service to see something else associated with that condition. And what you lot have done is tripled it, haven't a clue what the actual figure is, and now put into the public domain a figure which is inaccurate, Mr. Beggs, isn't it?
Even that figure is the most accurate figure that's available and is widely used within health services to get a measure of the amount of people waiting.
I'll ask you again. Is it the amount of people waiting or is it the different appointments? Which is it?
There's actually another waiting list figure which we didn't use, and that's the numbers waiting for cancer appointments. That's another separate waiting list. But we didn't use it. What we used is the three commonly used waiting lists, which are there and used as a measure of the degree of pressure that is on the system.
You're saying that nearly one in five people...
That are widely used. We did not use some other waiting list which we could have used.
I am going to move on, Roy, but here's the point of my questioning this morning. That if you put a figure into the public domain, then you're going to get someone like me saying to you, is that true? And is it not damning of the Ulster Unionist Party this morning that you are unable to say, yes, it's true? Is that not damning around such an important issue as the health service and waiting lists? I'm asking you if something that you've put into the public domain is true and you can't say yes. All you can say this morning is you actually don't know what the figure is. In terms of our health service in Northern Ireland, the opposition doesn't know what the figure actually is?
The government doesn't know what the figure actually is.
So why have you stated it as fact?
Doesn't know what the figure actually is.
So why have you stated it as fact?
It's the three common lists, the three commonly used lists.
And added them all together.
The degree of pressure that is on our health system.
So what you've done is you've added outpatients, inpatients and diagnostics all together.
Yes, let's remember, if you're an outpatient, you're not an inpatient. Because if you are in the hospital, you are in hospital. You're not at home.
But the public statistics warn against doing exactly what your party has done, doesn't it? Don't they? They actually warn against doing it.
I go back to what I said earlier, Stephen. We've used the three commonly used waiting list measures to identify the degree of pressure on the health service. And figures which the chief executive of the Nuffield Trust, the most widely recognised internationally for coming in and assessing situations within different health authorities, they have said that if the waiting list figures in hospitals that are here in Northern Ireland were happening in England, heads would roll.
Well, what you've actually done, and I'm going to move on now, but what you've actually, what the Ulster Unionist Party have done in a press statement yesterday, is that you've told the public there are 392,000 people on waiting lists. And it is not true. Will the Ulster Unionist Party now retract that?
We will retract it when the government tells us exactly how many people there are. Because if you ask...
Sorry, why wouldn't you retract it now? Because you can't stand over it.
What we can say is that there are 392,000 people on government waiting lists for outpatients, inpatients. Clearly, they're two separate groups.
Are they different people?
And a further 96,000 waiting to be for diagnostics.
Are they different people?
Pardon?
Are they different people?
Some may be, I don't know. And this is what I said earlier, Stephen, there are other waiting lists as well as these three waiting lists that we haven't included.
And it's 300...
And the key point is...
Yeah, it's actually, Roy, it's 392...
doubled in the last couple of years.
But Roy, it's 300... And, isn't it a pity that I'm not actually talking here about how we better the service, what your ideas are? What I'm having to do this morning is point out to the public that an Ulster Unionist Party statement around such an important issue as health is inaccurate, and you as their representative this morning don't know. Because it's not 392,000 people, it's 392,000 cases, Roy. That's what it is, and there's a huge difference.
If you were one of those people on the waiting list whose waiting times has extended further and further and further,
yep,
they would not wish to pick the slight difference between a case and a patient. Undoubtedly, there'll be some people who may be waiting on two of these lists, but as I have said, there's actually other lists as well.
Now, of the 392,000 cases, I'll change the language for you, that there is, have some of those people actually been seen within days? In other words, within the government target?
I go back to what I keep saying, Stephen. The biggest concern in all of this is that the number of cases, and with the number of cases, the number of people will also have doubled, so that the number of cases on waiting lists has considerably increased over this last few years.
But when you say, when you're using,
wait even more than a year.
But when you are using this figure of 392,000 cases, might some of those people actually have been seen within days? In other words, really quickly and really efficiently.
Always, some people are seen quickly, and some people are not.
Is this a
but
yes?
When the numbers of cases has grown exponentially, undoubtedly, more and more are having to wait longer. And I'm also coming across individual constituency cases which have been very, very serious,
yep,
where people have been waiting considerable periods of time on waiting lists, only eventually to find that it is now likely that they have a form of cancer. That's an example of why we want to keep our waiting lists down, so that what people may have thought to have been diagnosed with can be finalised and agreed by a consultant. And if it's the wrong diagnosis, it can go a different track.
Okay.
And the real cause of what is the ailment can be identified and appropriate treatment be received.
How many of the 392,000 cases that you cite were actually seen within the targets? So how many of those cases did the health service do an incredibly good job and
right,
see people within the target?
Right. If you're on the waiting list, you haven't been seen yet.
But there's presumably you don't expect the health service to see someone as soon as they are diagnosed within seconds. So how many of those 392,000 cases were seen within the stipulated targets?
Just, you know, if you're on the waiting list, you have not been seen.
Correct. But if you're on a waiting list, you might have been diagnosed that morning and you're on a waiting list, and there's a huge difference from someone who is then seen within a 7 or 8 week or 2 week target time and someone, many of whom contact this radio show, who are waiting, unacceptably waiting, 6 months, 9 months and a year. Out of the 392,000 cases, how many were outside
right,
the target time, Roy?
Right. The 392,000 cases are cases of people who were on the waiting list at that moment in time, at that snapshot in time.
Right, but how many of those...
They will have been treated after that point in time, and therefore I don't know whether they were treated at the appropriate time or whether they were treated outside the government target.
Lots of don't knows this morning.
Well, listen, when the government tells me that there are 392,000 people on waiting lists.
They did not tell you.
Time.
You're doing it again.
I do not know.
So you're doing it again. There were not. Do not push inaccurate information to the public. There are not 392,000 people on waiting lists in this country.
Okay, let's go back to the word cases. You seem to be more content with that. If there are 392,000 cases on the waiting list, at the snapshot in time, that, and this is the best publicly available information, so at that moment in time, Stephen, they haven't been treated. Now, I don't know if they're treated the next day or the next year. Nobody knows if they're treated the next day or the next year.
Well, yes, we do, because there are statistics available.
Time, which is representative as how things stand.
There are statistics available for when people are seen outside of target time. Stay there for me. Paula Bradley joining us now from the DUP. Paula, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Let's have a listen to what the then Health Minister, Simon Hamilton, said. This was last November when he announced £40 million would be spent on getting some of our waiting lists down.
We are well down the line of planning for this, and some people will start to get notifications of those assessments and the appointments and the procedures that they will be having done to them in the next number of days.
So, Simon Hamilton makes a promise to the public, £40 million would be spent to reduce waiting lists, and then we don't spend the money. Shocking, Paula.
I agree. I wish all of the money had been spent on waiting lists. I wish we had more money to spend on waiting lists.
Why? You can't even spend the £40 million you got.
I think there was issues around timeframes that the money had to be spent before the end of the financial year, and I think that caused pressures. Also, we did use our independent sector, and we utilised them to the best that we possibly could, but they as well were under pressure to spend the money by the end of the financial year.
So again, this is about the public being able to trust our politicians. So the DUP at the time publicly stated that they would spend £40 million on waiting lists. You didn't do it.
As I've explained to you, no, we didn't do it, and we didn't do it for specific reasons.
But could you not have foreseen
within a certain time frame?
But before Simon Hamilton made that promise to spend the money on waiting lists, did he not talk to his advisers and see if it was achievable? Because you knew the time frame.
Yes, we did know the time frame.
So why did you make the promise?
He did speak to his advisers. I, from what I can gather from the information I was given at the time, it was simply down to a timing issue.
But that timing issue...
That money had been given to roll out over a longer period. That would have been ideal. That would have been
much
better.
But it wasn't, Paula.
Much more people.
But the point is, at the point of time that you received the money, you then must have known, must have been able to calculate, forward plan, how many cases has the health service got the capability to do? In other words, can we spend this £40 million within the period? Meanwhile, you're telling the public you're going to spend it when you couldn't. And you never could have, could you?
Well, I think it wasn't really just the health service we looked at. We looked at the independent sector as well and hoped that they could manage to take on a vast amount of that work, which they did do, thankfully, and they did do it and they did it well. But we still didn't have enough services to spend the £40 million.
So if someone this morning, many of whom have contacted me to say, Stephen, my child's sitting on a waiting list, my granny's sitting on a waiting list for 6 and 7 and 9 months, how are they going to feel about the executive today, executive office today, Sinn Féin and the DUP? They're sitting on months of a waiting list and you lot couldn't even get it together to spend the money. You had the money and you couldn't spend it. And they're sitting on a waiting list thinking, why didn't they spend it on me?
Stephen, I can't tell you any more about that waiting list other than that, or about that £40 million, other than the time frame that it was meant to be spent. And I understand. I have family members that are on waiting lists also. I remember what it was like to be on a waiting list for a cancer diagnosis. I know full well what it's like. I know how anxious a time it is. And if we had the money or were able to spend the money within the time frame, it would have happened. But it's not just about money. It's about reconfiguration of services. And I think that's the line. We need to look at a long-term goal to set ourselves tackling these waiting lists.
And we'll get into that in a second. Would you like to apologise this morning on behalf of Simon Hamilton, who told the public he was going to... In fact, let's just hear once again what he told the public.
we are well down the line of planning for this, and some people will start to get notifications of those assessments and the appointments and the procedures that they will be having done to them in the next number of days.
Well down the line of planning for this, said Simon Hamilton. And actually, you were so far not down the line of planning for it, you couldn't deliver. Would you like to apologise on behalf of Simon Hamilton for promising the public one thing and not delivering it?
I don't feel that I have to apologise, Stephen. I mean, there were many, many people were seen. Many people were taken off that waiting list and many people were treated for various issues that they had.
Nearly over 20 million, nearly half of it wasn't spent on waiting lists.
And that's regrettable.
21.5 million were spent on waiting lists, a further 3.4 million allocated to take money spent on waiting lists to approximately, 25 million it is. So of the 25 million, you didn't spend 15 million of it. Meanwhile, Mr. Hamilton said you were well down the line of planning. I'd like to know what wouldn't be well down the line of planning.
Stephen, I don't know what more you would like me to say. It is regrettable. I personally, and as a party, I believe that I wish we could have spent all of that money in the time frame that was allocated.
Do you want to reply to this, Roy?
Well, that had really, and what I saw as all the appearance of a pre-election stunt, which they didn't deliver on. And let's remember, as well as the announcement in November of reducing waiting lists, in March, they announced that further £30 million would be spent reducing waiting lists. It had all the appearance of a pre-election stunt.
Well, that's a huge accusation, because that's essentially Paula Bradley, Roy Beggs, saying that you were using something as emotive and as important as the health service and saving lives to gain votes.
Absolutely not. Not when we look at that over half of the money was spent to reduce waiting lists. It wasn't some drop in the ocean figure. It was a substantial amount of money was put into the further reduction of waiting lists. Absolutely nothing to do with elections. I think we care slightly more about our people than the Ulster Unionist Party, and to try and make some sort of political football out of health, that's certainly not what we want to do. And I actually don't believe any party in that assembly wants to do that. This is far too an important issue to start throwing cheap political jibes about.
Let's see how some of our listeners are taking this morning. Vinti, good morning, Vinti.
Morning, Stephen. Listen, I'm mesmerised by what's going on there. My appointment is only for ENT. It's bad enough for me, but it's not as bad as what other people are. I'm waiting 15 months at the minute. I rang up about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I was told it would be at least between 4 to 6 months before they get around to looking at me. So that'll be 21 months. You know, and there's as you say yourself, there's cancer patients and people here waiting in really, really severe disabilities to see the consultants. It's an absolute disgrace.
And so when you hear that 25 of the 40 million was spent in waiting lists, Vinti, what do you say to the government this morning?
Stephen, I'm disgusted. So I'll tell you, it's awful. I have a daughter, by the way, who is a nurse, and she was left looking after 8 patients. They're only trained to look after 3, so they are, because of, I don't know what the reason was, but she was left under that the pressure. So they should be employing more people to come in and do stuff. But the witness are a disgrace, Stephen. Really, really are.
Cindy, thank you. Seamus, morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Stephen. Can I just say this here? I have a rapidly deteriorating bone disease. You'll have to excuse my voice because I've got a chest infection at the moment. Now, in the last week, 2 weeks, my legs have been inflamed, and a lot of bruising has come out and stuff, because that's what happens. If I try to walk or try to get about there or get to the point, I mean, this is shocking news. This is absolutely shocking.
What is shocking you, Seamus?
The amount of money that hasn't been spent. I mean, I got an MRI back in March. Until this day, my own GP can't even trace where it went. Now, I'm currently waiting 17 months for surgery. Now, there's no cure for my disease. But the idea of the surgery was to try and relieve the symptoms. Sadly, nobody knows where the MRI went.
What do you say to government this morning, to the executive?
I mean, I don't know what Starling's doing up there, and I don't know what they're at. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not here to condemn anybody, because I'm getting the tough ones of the stands, and it's very, very painful. But the reality is, you know, this money has been allocated to be spent for patients. And why hasn't it been spent? Why? That's, you know, they look at the witness, they look at the shape.
Because they couldn't use the money in time.
It doesn't matter. They should have used it in time. They had the time to use it, and they should have used it. There's no excuses. There's witness. There's tens of thousands of people are witness, and they couldn't use up the money. Absolutely shocking. I'm not here to make any kind of condemnations. I'm just here to highlight my issue in terms of I would love to somebody find out where my MRI scan went to.
Seamus, thank you.
The next time I get one, could be another 2 years.
Seamus, thank you. Barbara, morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Stephen. I'm listening to your programme near every morning, and I am actually waiting over 3 years on having my hands looked at, and I have heard nothing from anybody. And every time I go to the doctors, I mention it to him, and he checks the computer, and I can't understand why I haven't.
Well, now, if you're waiting 3 years, we will look at that case for you. Waiting 3 years is extraordinary.
So for to get my hands, I have two fingers on each hand, and they're numb. And when I'm holding things, I don't realise that sometimes I think I'm holding it, and I drop the things. And I'm just waiting over 3 years, I would say.
So when you listen to this programme this morning, what's your reaction?
I think they should give more to the health service and everything, and especially cancer patients, because there's cancer through our family this last 3 or 4 years. And I think they should give more money instead of putting daft things out on the roads and daft things up, like things that you don't want to watch, and put it all into the health service.
Barbara, thank you. Roy Biggs, the Bingoa report is going to be published next week. This is an expert panel reporting on reforming healthcare here. If that expert panel says we need radical reform for our hospital services, in other words, if it says, which many people would expect it to, that we need to centralise services, in other words, close down departments within hospitals and put the specialities into one centre of excellence, will Ulster Unionist Party support that?
We will look at everything when it comes forward and consider it carefully. Some things don't need centralised, Stephen. One of the issues that's recently been highlighted to me is in the area of audiology waiting lists. It may just simply be older people requiring hearing aids. And at present, they have to go to their GP. They have to queue to see a consultant in the hospital. There are huge waiting lists. Now, over in England, it's been operating for some time in many trusts. What actually happens is that there are specialists on the main street and who are trained up to high level, who can simply fit a new hearing aid. And as such, it takes an awful lot of people out of those waiting lists. And it's actually cheaper. But what's happened here, there was a pilot, and the pilot's just been binned. We need to do things differently. Some of that will require some services coming back out of these hospitals away from that central bottleneck.
So
giving more support to our GPs, so they can deliver more services locally.
Do the opposition have any big ideas for how we can reshape our health service?
I think everyone has bought into the fact that we need to transform our care. We need to actually be mature and look carefully at the overall Northern Ireland budget. Be aware when you vote a budget through what the implications are, and then prioritise what actually that money is going towards. Our current budget processing is completely in the blind. The public don't understand when their MLAs vote for a budget and the amount of money going to health, what it actually will mean in the next year for waiting lists. They don't know when they vote for money go to one department or another what it will mean. I recall back in early 2000s, the budget process that was there, there was a much higher level of transparency. People knew that was happening. And something which has amazed me is that in 2012, the Finance Committee reiterated the view of the previous Finance Committee that there need to reform our budget process to ensure that it was much simpler and it was much more transparent and people could understand it and what the outcomes ultimately would be. And what has happened? What did the executive do with a report that's been sitting for 4 years from the Finance Committee of the Northern Ireland Assembly? Recently, I've been told that the Finance Minister, that the Executive has never discussed it. They've never even discussed it. Previously, that report was being held up. I remember when I was on the Finance Committee at the time, it was being held up by the education minister at that stage who didn't want transparency in his budget. There should be proper transparency. People should be aware of what's happening. And we need to understand the pressure.